That's what Paul did. He went from synagogue to synagogue, reasoning with them from the scriptures, the Old Testament, that Jesus, Yeshua, was HaMashiach, the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. How would you go with that? Don, I'll take you down to the synagogue next Saturday. You get ready. You get ready. All you have is the Tanakh. That is the Old Testament. Now I'll start preaching Jesus. That's quite an assignment, isn't it? And most of the students are goggle-eyed. Had never even thought about it. Usually we start with the Gospel of John. Praise God, we've got that. No worries. But here, he's able to open up the scriptures. And beginning at this one. And better than that, remember in Luke chapter 24, when the Lord Jesus Christ was on the road to Emmaus, it says that he opened the scriptures and he opened their understanding and he showed them all things regarding himself from the law of Moses, from the prophets, and from the writings on the road to Emmaus. I would have loved to have been in that Bible study. Where would you start in the law? Where would you start in the first five books of the Bible to demonstrate and preach the Lord Jesus Christ? What a challenge this is. Where would you go in the prophets? Oh, that's a little easier. And then, of course, you've got the Psalms that are remaining writing. But the early church had the Old Testament as their evangelistic tool. What a shame the church turns away from the Old Testament. What a shame. And of course they've turned away from one of the central themes in the Old Testament. And that's God's chosen people, the nation of Israel, and his covenants with them, his unconditional, unilateral covenants, that is, the I will unconditioned covenants, and God said, whatever they do, I will do this for them. Whatever they do, I will do this for them. I will, I will, I will. They're the unconditional covenants. Yes. There are conditional covenants too. We have to separate them and distinguish them. So here we have, getting back on track again, here we have as a guide from the New Testament itself regarding these songs, and particularly Isaiah 53, what we call Isaiah 53. Now, let's have a look at the ancient Jewish interpretation of this particular chapter. How long has the Jewish people had this particular book and this particular portion? How long had they had it in Jesus' day? Anyone have a guess? See, when you come along and listen to me, you've got to start thinking. I ask you questions and stir you up. Yeah. 700 years. They've had it for 700 years. And now they have had it for 2,700 years. And of course, they've been reading the scriptures long, long before we ever did. And here is their interpretation. The ancient Jewish interpretation. In that 700 years, and even after the Lord Jesus Christ, even after the first century, there were interpretations of these. Any people interested in Jewish studies will be familiar with the ancient scribes and even in the medieval years. But here is a very ancient one. And this is the Targums. You know some of the Jewish writings. There's the Talmud, there's the Mishnah, and there are the Targums. The Targum is a very interesting here in Isaiah 53. The Targum is a translation of the Old Testament, which is written in Hebrew, a translation in Aramaic, Genesis through to the end of the Old Testament. The reason that was done, round about in the time of Jesus and a little after, was that the Hebrew language was not spoken so much and used so much. It was there in the synagogue and in the temple, yes, but the language that was used, as in Jesus' day, he spoke Aramaic, which is the sister language to Hebrew. So what the Jewish people did is that they retranslated and paraphrased the Hebrew Bible into Aramaic. And that's where we get the Targums. And for the book of Isaiah, we have the Targum of Jonathan. And the Targum of Jonathan is believed to be written in the 1st century AD. And in the book of Isaiah, and I have it here. You can get it on the internet, you can go and buy a copy. And it is a translation and a paraphrase by the Jewish people of the Old Testament. And in the book of Isaiah, here the Targum of Jonathan says, now listen to this, "Behold my servant Messiah, who is high and lifted up and very exalted, more than Abraham, elevated above Moses, higher than the ministering angels." When I first read that, I said, that's the book of Hebrews. But it is Messiah, my servant. Messiah, the Messiah. There it is, in the Targum, written in the 1st century AD. Ancient Jewish testimony was that Isaiah 53 was referring to the Messiah. The Babylonian Talmud, a little later, said, the Messiah, I'm quoting, the Messiah, what is his name? The rabbis say, the leprous one. Those of the house of Rabbi say, the sick one. As it is said, surely he had borne our sicknesses. And then from the 16th century, we have this testimony. Our rabbis with one voice accept and confirm the opinion that the prophet is speaking of King Messiah. That's a rabbi saying that in the 1500s. So there's a testimony there, even amongst the nation of Israel, that it is messianic. Now that's an ancient Jewish interpretation. What about the modern Jewish interpretation? This is what you will hear as you meet a Jewish person or go synagogue. And David Barron has paraphrased this for us to help us. And it is, as many of the nations were astonished at thee, O Israel, saying at the time of the captivity, truly he is disfigured above all mankind in his countenance and form. The modern interpretation is that the servant is the nation. The nation of Israel suffering because of the sins of humanity, and that is considered meritorious in the sight of Almighty God eventually. That's a smokescreen, brothers and sisters. Jesus is the focus. And we have a reply to that. It is for the transgression of my people, that is, Isaiah's people. Who are Isaiah's people, please? The nation of Israel. It is for the transgressions of my people, Isaiah says, that he suffered. There is a distinction between the one suffering and the one being suffered for. That's in Isaiah 53. Can you see that there? Can anyone find the verse where it says that? He suffered for my people. I should have marked this. Sorry? Verse 8. Yes. The last part of verse 8. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. Isaiah is speaking, and it's Isaiah's people that were saved because this one was smitten. And here is the clincher. This is why it is not the servant nation, Israel, the Jew. Point B, 4B. The suffering in this chapter is voluntary, unresisting, and fatal. Notice those three. You get them? It's voluntary. Jewish nation has never volunteered to go into suffering. They have fled that. And we speak with respect and understanding here. This suffering here is unresisting. In other words, a never unresisting is, he didn't oppose it. Wasn't fulfilled, hasn't been fulfilled in Israel. And then finally, whoever this servant is, it dies, passes away, and goes into a grave. Never happened. For an individual, it is the Lord Jesus Christ.